The Hill of Dreams by Arthur Machen. Chapter 1. There was a glow in the sky as if great furnace doors were opened. But all the afternoon his eyes had looked on glamour. He had strayed in fairyland. The holidays were nearly done, and Lucien Taylor had gone out resolved to lose himself, to discover strange hills and prospects that he had never seen before. The air was still, breathless, exhausted after heavy rain, and the clouds looked as if they had been molded of lead. No breeze blew upon the hill, and down in the well of the valley not a dry leaf stirred, not a bough shook in all the dark January woods. About a mile from the rectory he had diverged from the main road by an opening that promised mystery and adventure. It was an old neglected lane, little more than a ditch, worn 10 feet deep by its winter waters, and shadowed by great, untrimmed hedges, densely woven together. On each side were turbid streams, and here and there a torrent of water gushed down the banks, flooding the lane. It was so deep and dark that he could not get a glimpse of the country through which he was passing, but the way went down and down to some unconjectured hollow. Perhaps he walked 2 miles between the high walls of the lane before its descent ceased, but he thrilled with the sense of having journeyed very far, all the way from the known to the unknown. He had come, as it were, into the bottom of a bowl amongst the hills, and black woods shut out the world. From the road behind him, from the road before him, from the unseen wells beneath the trees, rivulets of waters swelled and streamed down towards the center, to the brook that crossed the lane. Amid the dead and wearied silence of the air, beneath leaden and motionless clouds, it was strange to hear such a tumult of gurgling and rushing water, and he stood for a while on the quivering footbridge, and watched the rush of dead wood and torn branches and wisps of straw all hurrying madly past him, to plunge into the heaped spume, the barmy froth that had gathered against a fallen tree. Then he climbed again, and went up between limestone rocks, higher and higher, till the noise of waters became indistinct, a faint humming of swarming hives in summer. He walked some distance on level ground, till there was a break in the banks and a stile on which he could lean and look out. He found himself, as he had hoped, afar and forlorn. He had strayed into outland and occult territory. From the eminence of the lane, skirting the brow of a hill, he looked down into deep valleys and dingles, and beyond, across the trees, to remoter country, wild bare hills and dark wooded lands meeting the gray still sky. Immediately beneath his feet the ground sloped steep down to the valley, a hillside of close grass patched with dead bracken, and dotted here and there with stunted thorns, and below there were deep oak woods, all still and silent and lonely, as if no one ever passed that way. The grass and bracken and thorns and woods all were brown and gray beneath the leaden sky, and as Lucien looked he was amazed, as though he were reading a wonderful story, the meaning of which was a little greater than his understanding. Then, like the hero of a fairy book, he went on and on, catching now and again glimpses of the amazing country in which he had penetrated, and perceived, rather than seeing, that as the day waned everything grew more and more somber. As he advanced he heard the evening sounds of the farms, the low of the cattle and the barking of the sheepdogs, a faint, thin noise from far away. It was growing late, and as the shadows blackened he walked faster, till once more the lane began to descend. There was a sharp turn, and he found himself, with a good deal of relief and a little disappointment, on familiar ground. He had nearly described a circle, and knew this end of the lane very well. It was not much more than a mile from home. He walked smartly down the hill. The air was all glimmering and indistinct, transmuting trees and hedges.